Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. You may have heard of Dry January, even Dry July. This time, let's talk about Sober October. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Dr. Eowyn Rieke. Dr. Rieke is the Fora Health Medical Director. Hey there, Dr. Rieke. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I thought we'd first get started today by having you tell us a little bit about you, your background, and maybe your specialties.
Yes, I am an addictions medicine doctor. I started out in primary care, working with people who were without housing or otherwise marginalized, and then recently moved to focus really on addictions medicine because I realized what a major impact it has on the lives of many people in Portland, Oregon, and across the country.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about what is the incidence of substance abuse disorder or addiction across the U.S. right now?
Oh, it depends on how you count it. There's a bunch of different kind of measures, whether it's a mild use condition or a more serious. But the estimates are 10% or more of people in the United States experience some sort of kind of disordered or substance use that results in significant consequences.
And by substance, do we mean alcohol, drugs? What are we talking about?
In this case, I'm talking about all of them. It's alcohol, drugs, including cocaine, methamphetamines, heroin, fentanyl, all of them.
Has that incidence started to rise over the last few years?
It has, and especially with COVID. So interestingly, and speaking specifically about alcohol, the rate of alcohol use was already increasing in the few years before COVID started. And then there's a marked increase of use with the pandemic and with the isolation and people losing a lot of their existing coping strategies as the pandemic started.
Do you think people picked up the abusive disorder during the pandemic because of the pandemic, or was it something kind of maybe brewing underneath for a while?
I think there's a lot of different factors. Yeah. I think one of the ones that's most concerning is people drinking to cope, which is a particular classification of drinking that is includes a higher risk for people going on to have an alcohol use disorder. So that's what we call it in the medical world, if someone has an alcohol use or substance use disorder, which is really related to lack of control and continuing to use despite negative consequences. So if I'm a person who has a glass of wine each night and that doesn't escalate, I don't feel compelled to do it, there are still negative consequences of even a single glass, negative health consequences, but they may not be very large. And so that is not really, I would not be continuing to use despite major negative consequences such as work, relationships. But if I escalated that, if I started to get stressed because I was working from home and I had the kids running around, and so I had two or three glasses of wine, that then becomes disordered drinking, perhaps compulsive drinking, and continuing to drink despite those negative consequences that could be impacting my family, impacting my work.
Yeah, what's the line that gets crossed when it becomes a problem?
There's a lot of different ways in which substance use can become a problem. It can interfere with your relationships. Perhaps you're hungover on a day when you were supposed to be spending time with family, or perhaps you're actively using and that creates conflict with family members. It also can interfere with your work if you're not able to fulfill your work responsibilities or other relationship responsibilities. So that's really the line we think of. It's both who's in charge of the drinking. Am I in charge of my alcohol use, or is my alcohol use controlling me? And then are there negative consequences? Have I gotten a charge of driving under the influence, or am I not able to fulfill my work responsibility, or am I spending so much money on something that it's impacting the rest of my life? That's the point at which we talk with people about considering significant changes in their behavior.
We're talking today with Dr. Rieke, Fora Health Medical Director. Dr. Rieke, tell us about Fora Medical Health.
So Fora is a wonderful place where we are focused on the humanity of our patients and provide them with extraordinary support, and all the way through from withdrawal management, so also known as detox. So if someone wants to stop a substance in a supportive environment, they can come and stay with us for some number of days while they transition. We have outpatient services, so counseling, groups, medications, and then we have a residential program where some people come and stay with us for 1, 2 even months or even longer while they get intensive counseling and intensive support to change those patterns.
And our audience may be familiar with Fora because it used to be called DePaul, correct?
Yes, we changed our name. We moved into a new building, and I would say our philosophy has considerably changed within the last year.
Yeah, in what way?
Our philosophy, we really emphasize, I think, the dignity of our patients and the kindness in a new way. We've incorporated a lot more harm reduction, which is an idea that any positive change is positive change. So if someone decides that they want to drink less, drink fewer days, drink fewer drinks, that in and of itself is a positive change. We don't require abstinence or expect our patients to make large dramatic changes that may simply not be sustainable in the long run for them. So we really focus on harm reduction. I would say we have a strong emphasis on kindness and person-centered care. That is just kind of it's a new approach to some of the work we do.
That kind of leads into part of the reason we're talking today is because it's the month of October, and a lot of people are doing what's called Sober October. Talk to me about Sober October. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting name. Sober October is similar to Dry January and Dry July, is a time in which people are encouraged to consider their alcohol use habits. It is focused on alcohol use from the research that I've done. And so it's a time to take a look at them and see if they're really serving you. Many people take the word sober quite seriously and think it means they need to become abstinent for the month. And I would encourage people to think of it as an opportunity for reflection and sustainable changes. So if you are a person who drinks, a female-bodied person who drinks more than one drink a day, that would be considered potentially too much. It could have higher risk of causing health problems. And so perhaps hold yourself to one a day. If you're someone who participates in binge drinking, so you drink multiple drinks on, say, a weekend night, perhaps try to reduce that to fewer. There are lots of tools you can do to do that. And so it's really an opportunity to reflect on your habits, determine how they do or do not serve you, and make changes.
Is there something in particular about the month of October, or is it simply kind of rhymes with sober?
I think it just rhymes, but honestly, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
There's one thing I do want to say very specifically to the idea of sobriety and alcohol use, which is alcohol is one of the two substances that have developed a significant body dependence, meaning your body can't function well without it. It can be dangerous to stop on your own. So I want to make sure some people are not taking this too seriously and going from drinking kind of regularly every day, multiple times a day, to none, because that can be life-threatening. And I would encourage those people to find support. We have withdrawal management or detox at 4Health. There are other organizations around the city that do to make sure that they can stop. If they decide to become completely abstinent, that they can do that safely.
So cold turkey is maybe not the way to go.
It can be, but not if it's something that you're doing regularly. Not if you feel significant withdrawal symptoms when you stop from alcohol, because that can be life-threatening.
Talk to me about the instance of substance abuse, particularly in the state of Oregon.
So Oregon, we have, we unfortunately have the highest rate or among the highest rates of states in the United States of substance use conditions. And we have the lowest or among the lowest of access to care. And so it is a terrible combination in which we have a significant amount of alcohol use, opioid use, stimulant use, specifically methamphetamines, and people just simply do not have access to the care they need to make changes.
Why is it higher here than anywhere else?
There's a lot of complicated answers to that. Some of it is simple geography. Stimulant use, it's really related to geography and being on the coast. And then some of it is we have the lack of access to care. I mean, it's kind of a chicken or egg. Right. You don't have access to care. Does your use problem continue? If you have a use problem, and you know, it just both pieces feed into each other.
Can you talk to me about why we have such limited access to care?
Historically, funding. We have a behavioral health system, and behavioral health includes mental health and substance use care system that has been chronically underfunded. And so people with substance use conditions, there have not been programs where they could go. We have not had the funding to create those programs.
It seems like to maybe somebody who doesn't know a whole lot about this, that we have a lot of social services around the state, particularly here in Portland. It seems like there are a lot of social services and there is a lot of help out there, but you're saying there really isn't.
Not nearly enough. A few years ago, there was an estimate that there were 6,000 people with opioid use disorder, so who were addicted to opioids, whether that be heroin or fentanyl or pills like Percocet, that did not receive care. So there are lots and lots of people who are not receiving the care, and we're simply underfunded. It may seem like there are a lot of services in Portland, and there are not nearly as many as we need. And in rural and frontier areas of the state, there are counties that have no services at all in the entire county.
Yeah, what's the incidence in rural Oregon? Is it?
I don't have those numbers. I don't know.
Okay. It's really unfortunate that there are no services out there at all, right? In the rural areas of the state, which there are a lot of rural areas of this state. Talk to me also about if somebody is seeking help, where do they start?
So it depends on what they're seeking help for, but I do think, and again, if they're trying to stop using alcohol or benzos, which is a form of a pill, it is important that they talk with someone about withdrawal management to make sure that they can safely stop. But I would say connecting, if you have a primary care provider, your primary care provider may be able to connect you to care. There is a great website called Rethinking Drinking, which is a part of the federal government, and it really puts together a lot of the pieces of what counts as kind of more alcohol than is safe, what are the options for treatment. So there are some resources, and there's certainly Fora Health, and we're at forahealth.org. So there are lots of ways and places that you can go to try and get more information on the treatment options.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking, at what point do you think you need to seek help? You know, what are the symptoms of abuse?
I think if someone is starting to think that they need help, they probably do. some of the classic definitions would be, if someone in your family is concerned about your use, that may be a sign of thinking about it, making a change. If you're concerned about your use, if it's impacting your life, if you're drinking more than you plan to, you know, you make a rule, say, I'm going to have two drinks. I'm going to go out with friends. I'm going to have two drinks. I'm a male-bodied person. I know that's the limit, usually, kind of expectation for how many I should have. And I end up having four. So I've set a goal. I'm not able to hold myself to that goal. And then perhaps I say something that creates problems in my relationships. Perhaps I spend money that I don't have. Perhaps I drink in risky situations, such as I drink and I drive. So when you have those negative consequences and you are not able to control what you are doing, so you make a goal and you still exceed it, or you have other members of family and friends who are concerned about you related to your use, those are times when I would consider looking for more support. And there's lots of support. I mentioned treatment. I would never want to forget to mention support groups. There's Alcohol Anonymous, which is the most well-known, but there's lots of other groups as well. For those folks for whom the AA philosophy doesn't fit, there's Smart Recovery, there's Dharma Recovery, there are recovery groups focused on minoritized population, such as Indigenous people, women, Black and African Americans. So there's tons of support groups that can create a community and create insight and structure that can help people make these changes.
Yeah, there is. That's good that there's a lot of support groups out there. But what if you're maybe homeless or don't have access to finding these groups? What do you do then?
So lots of groups are back in person. So you can work in person. Many groups are also online. So I know friends and family who join a group, and they can be on a group with someone from Ireland or someone from South America. And so you can build community in unexpected ways. And then there are many groups that are held in churches and other public spaces. So it's really looking into them and talking with, if you are without housing, talking with a primary care provider or going to one of the local homeless services providers and asking for information on those groups is an option.
How can seeking addiction treatment early prevent an intervention later down the road?
So I think identifying those dysfunctional patterns gives you a chance to build more functional patterns. They're really simple things people can do, such as, I'm going to drink a full glass of water in between every beer. And that's a really simple way to potentially reduce your alcohol use, also reduce the consequences because you're less likely to have a hangover the next day if you're adequately hydrated. Or I'm going to talk to my buddy and my buddy is going to cut me off at 2 and I'm going to be okay with that. So building those strategies into your life will simply reduce your alcohol use, and that significantly reduces the risk of alcohol use in the future. And I think the other piece of that is drinking to cope. We know conveys a higher risk of long-term alcohol use disorders. And so building those coping strategies for stress, whether it's exercise, whether it's watching funny movies, whether it's talking to a dear friend, any of those things you can do to cope with stress that are not related to alcohol or other substance use can also significantly reduce the risk of drinking to cope and therefore reduce the risk of an alcohol use disorder.
What is meant by binge drinking?
So binge drinking is drinking four or more drinks or five or more, depending on if you're female or male-bodied, in one setting. So if it is drinking multiple drinks in one setting, and just a note, one drink is a shot of hard liquor. It is a 12-ounce 4% beer, and it is a 5-ounce glass of wine. So if you get, you know, if you get a beer and a shot and that's a double shot, you may have three alcohol equivalents right there. Or even one of those, you know, 9% 16-ounce beers. That's about three alcohol equivalents in one can. So paying attention is important to make sure that you are adequately and accurately reflecting how much you're taking in.
And that binge drinking doesn't just happen on the weekends.
No, it can happen all kinds of times. It can happen if someone has a stressful experience. It can happen if there's a particular person that someone binge drinks with. It can happen in many different situations.
We're talking today with Dr. Riki, Fora Health Medical Director. I want to talk a little bit more about Sober October. What are some helpful hints that you can give people to maybe be successful for Sober October?
Yeah, I really think of this in three categories, many of which we've already covered, but first is planning. So if you have decided you want to make a change, think specifically about what you want to do. Is it fewer days drinking? Is it fewer drinks at a time? Is it complete abstinence? If it's complete abstinence, can you do that safely? Are you a person who needs to have medical support for stopping drinking, or are you someone who can do it on your own? And that's really about whether or not you have withdrawal symptoms. If you have significant withdrawal symptoms, talk to a medical provider. So plan, and really concretely plan. Like, how am I going to manage the feelings that come up when I don't have this thing I've used to cope or this thing that relaxes me? And so whether it's planning social events that are going to be alcohol-free. And there are zero-proof bars that serve drinks that don't have alcohol in them. You can go to a movie and not have any alcohol. There are many social activities that don't require drinking. So that's the first one, plan. The second one is be kind to yourself. So if you set a goal, you know, if you usually drink 5 and your goal is to drink 2 and you drink 3 or 4, that's positive change. That is progress. And so don't think it's all or nothing, because that's the kind of thinking that often sets us up for failure. Not always, but often. And then get help. Enroll your friends. Enlist friends and family. And if you feel like you need more advanced help, consider recovery groups or consider treatment, which we can offer at Fora Health and other places as well.
Those are great tips. Thank you. Talk to me also about an addiction assessment. What is that?
Well, an addiction assessment is a tool that is used for someone entering formal substance use treatment to really assess the many different areas of their life that may be impacting their substance use and impact their desire to make a change. So we look at their medical conditions and how they might impact that. We look at their mental health conditions. We look at their social situation, their housing, their employment, their history of trauma. And so it's really looking at the many different factors that may contribute to a person's substance use and then also impact their desire to make change and their success with those changes.
What are the expenses of treatment? Is treatment expensive?
It depends on the kind of treatment and it depends on who's paying for it. Many insurance companies will pay for quite a bit of treatment, if not all of it. And so it really depends on if you are in outpatient treatment. If you're only receiving medications, then you pay for a medical visit and medications. Most of those are often paid for by insurance, except for if you have a copay, if you have one. If you want a more complicated medication, perhaps an injectable form of a medication, depends on your insurance, but those can be quite a bit more expensive. Groups and one-on-ones, which would be part of a behavioral health, those can be quite a bit more expensive and are usually covered by insurance. And then you can get, free treatment, which is community groups, community support groups. So someone who's really financially limited and does not have insurance, there are for sure other ways that they can get support and have regular meetings and support from, say, a sponsor through AA or a friend who attends their smart recovery group with them. And then residential can be quite a bit more expensive. It can be in tens of thousands of dollars. And again, some insurance does cover that and some covers less, just depends.
It could potentially be priceless, right?
Yes.
Tell me about what addiction does to a person's mind and body. What are some health concerns?
Oh, so many. I think ultimately, this may not be exactly the question you're asking, but ultimately I think it leads to someone feeling like they're not in control. They don't get to make free choices about their life and that there is something that is driving them. And that is one of the hardest situations when someone really wants to stop and either they have a compelling emotional use to use or a compelling physical use to use. I mean, when people get to become dependent on a substance, and I will use an opioid in this example, they experience intense withdrawal, and they don't feel better unless they use the substance again. This is true also for alcohol. Like, people who wake up in the morning and need to drink alcohol in the morning in order to get well, is how they refer to it, is in order to feel normal. So people are no longer using in order to get high or to have that particular sensation of that substance. Sometimes they're using just to feel normal, to be able to function. And that is where it is heartbreaking, because they want to stop and they can't without the support to stop, and especially with alcohol, without support to stop safely. Of course, we know, many people know about liver disease associated with alcohol use, the potential for skin infections associated with any injection drug use, lung problems from any inhaled drugs. So there's a whole host of health problems that can have significant long-term and short-term effects.
We've got about a minute left. Let's spend that time talking about where people can go to get help.
Mm-hmm. So Rethinking Drinking is a website that has lots of great information about alcohol use. I would also encourage people to look up the Fora Health website. That's forahealth.org. It's F-O-R-A, health.org. Talking with your primary care provider, they may be able to provide medications for substance use. There are great medications for alcohol use and for opioid use. And then I would encourage them to look online for any of the local self-help groups that can also provide great support. And then people there can help people connect with other resources.
Probably great to reach out to friends and family as well.
Absolutely. And I would say for treatment, they may have great ideas, and also just for general support. Absolutely.
Great. You've given us such great information today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking today with Dr. Eowyn Rieke, Fora Health Medical Director and Substance Abuse Specialist. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.